Hello, and welcome to the Midwest Genealogy Center's Tell Me a Story program, an initiative to record America's family history in sound. Oral histories are one of the most personal and rewarding ways to preserve family stories. The Tell Me a Story sessions are 45-minute interviews between two people with the assistance of a trained facilitator. Participants will receive a compact disc with the full interview. A copy will be archived at the Midwest Genealogy Center and, with permission, later made available to the public. And now, another story.
Good afternoon. I'm Willard Welch, Drum Alumni 1958, and today I'm with one of my fellow classmates, Ted Ballas, and we're going to have an interview. And this is October the 3rd, 2012. Good afternoon, Ted.
Hi, Willard.
I'd like for you to tell me your full name, please.
Theodore John Ballas.
Do you have a nickname at the farm?
I don't remember one.
Okay.
Ted was, yeah.
Okay. And where did you come from to go to the farm?
The Tenderloin of Kansas City. Some rich woman had offered to buy my brother and I. And a social worker could see that my mother wasn't handling three children very well by herself, and so she suggested that my brother and I come here, and she keep my sister. So the social worker worked it all out.
And you were in Kansas City?
The Tenderloin of Kansas City, actually. We were spending a lot of time just roaming the streets and stuff.
Okay. Several of the guys had the same problem. How long were you at the farm? What year?
6 years. I don't remember. I think we came, well, it was summer of 52. And, of course, I left summer of 58.
Then. Right, yeah. And see, which high school did you attend?
East.
East High School, okay. And did you participate in any of the school activities or events?
Here or at East?
At East.
Yes, we were in my junior year. They began a program where the boys could go back to East to do seventh hour gym to be on the varsity football team. Actually, for the most part,
right.
So I got to be involved in that. Not in my junior year, but in my senior year. In my junior year, I had some kind of a strange thing happened to one of my legs after we came back from our camping trip. And so I was laid up for the first part of school. And anyway, it wasn't until my senior year that I was able to go back to East. I don't remember. Somebody was just reminding me that I did some kind of performance of a rock and roll song or something at a talent show at East, but I don't really remember it.
Well, you know, I remember when we had one talent show, and I'm sure we had more than one, where everybody got to do a little skit. So, yeah, it very could have been at that time frame.
Archie says I borrowed his record player.
Oh.
For that skit.
Right.
Well,
speaking of high school, do you remember any fads of your youth?
Well, my first image when you ask the question is of all of us showing up with the same shirt on. You know, you know, we weren't exactly in touch with the fads. You know, it would be the same design in three different colors.
Remember any haircuts or any clothes, styles that was popular at the time?
No, nothing okay. In particular. No,
that's all right. Okay.
Seems to me we used to roll up our jeans. That was, you know.
All right. Right. Was there anything that the other kids were doing that you thought stuck out in your mind?
I wasn't very social. I wasn't that aware of the other people.
Okay.
I did have a relationship with one of the girls who, a cheerleader, in fact, but we weren't part of any social network there in the school, and yeah. So no, for the most part.
Right. Okay. Yeah. Okay, moving on. What 4-H and FFA memories do you have?
Some very good ones. That was a special experience for me altogether, all the way from a 4-H picnic where they were selling a half a barbecue chicken for a quarter, and I ate three of them.
Wow.
With all the trimmings, with the, you know, the baked beans and the potato salad.
Oh, sure.
I had five. I took sheep in 4-H and the FFA 1 year and had four ewes. I had two sets of twins and a set of triplets.
Oh, wow.
But then I got sick, and Charlie Frakes took care of my sheep, and two of them died.
Yeah.
And one of them was show quality, a really beautiful young ram. And let's see, I did chickens.
Now, didn't you do turkeys, too?
I think I did. Yes, I did turkeys, yes.
Yeah.
Broad-breasted bronze.
Yeah.
We had to put marbles in the water so they learned how to drink. Oh, and hogs. Yeah. And then a calf. And my calf was Lord Johnny, which was the title of a book I had just read by a guy named White, I think.
Hmm.
Anyway, he was pretty big when I got him. Gene Myers got the one I really wanted, so his, you know, I had to choose from the more developed ones. But it took me a while to get him to break the halter. I remember being drugged through the bullshit down in the lower barn, and finally I put him on the cub tractor,
right.
And it just sat there and spinned. The wheels would spin, so I put him on the H, and he broke the halter.
Oh, wow.
But I did get him to lead by the time we got to the county fair. Lord Johnny, yeah, that was quite an experience.
And do you remember any of the projects that you had besides the animals?
One of my projects got used again after I left by Dean Culbertson. I had a piece of plywood on which I put all the different electrical splices, and then those same splices soldered and taped.
Right.
And I don't think I got a blue ribbon for it, but he did. And he was using my... well, anyway.
Maybe they liked his name better.
We had an experiment where we raised... this was for science, but in fact, we entered it into the science fair, where we gave one group of chickens a balanced diet and the other group a decidedly unbalanced diet. And we compared their skeletons, their weight, their everything.
Mm-hmm.
The whole experiment was down in the shop.
Oh.
We had the cages down in the shop. I don't know why, but anyway, that was... there was somebody else was in it with me. I don't remember who.
Now, you took that to the Kansas City Art Fair?
Science Fair.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. But I think it was also part of a 4-H project, too. I think I'm not really sure about that.
Well, it's possible. Yeah. That's amazing. Yeah. Yeah. I know after this many years, it's hard to remember
all the
details.
One of the things I did in 4-H was I was in charge. I was the head of a committee to raise money for the 4-H building that they were building at the time. They built shortly after, I think, I left. I'm not sure.
No, you're right on that. Yeah.
We collected waste paper and things like that in mm-hmm. order to raise money. I think we raised over $1,000, which in 1956, I think it was.
56?
I'm not sure.
Okay.
But it wasn't my last year here.
Oh, okay.
It would have probably been my junior year. But, we raised something like $1,200, I think, with just things like collecting waste paper and stuff like that.
Yeah. That was a good project, that's for sure. Do you remember how much was your allowance?
$4.
Your senior year?
I think so.
Yeah, well, that's what I remember, too. Yeah. But when you first came, when you were a little guy, how much did you get then? Do you remember? Don't remember. Okay, sorry. But it's interesting.
I think two, but I'm not sure.
Right, yeah.
I think it increased $1 a year, but that doesn't work out right.
Mathematically.
Right.
But no, I know that, or at least that's what I remember too, was the $4. But that was senior year. Yeah. And did you save it or spend it?
Boy, I don't even remember it coming or going. You know, I.
It was such a big sum.
I was moving pretty fast at the time. I was singing in the choir and going with the preacher's daughter.
I remember that now.
Jane Ann.
Yeah.
Besides,
the other two girls.
all that was going on in 4-H and FFA. I think I was an officer in FFA, something or other.
Right.
Oh, you know, we had little jobs such as holding at the American Royal.
Right.
I've run into people lately, you know, I mean, they say, what? Mm-hmm. You know, the American Royal?
Oh, yeah.
We were really very privileged. We got to do a lot of things that people wouldn't even think of. You know, I mean, like, we were given tours of the meatpacking houses, Swift and Cudahy, down in the bottoms.
Right. But we were doing the things that they liked, that they were interested in. You know, like the meat judging.
We were the ones to beat, I heard, much years later.
Right.
Among 4-H and FFA contests, we were the ones to beat.
Yeah. We had quite a reputation at and a favorable one at that. Now, talk about chores. What was your favorite chore?
Favorite chores. That's interesting because I enjoyed my chores, actually. Milking was a good one.
Mm-hmm.
I still brag that I have my milking muscle. Oh. I still have my milking muscle and that I've plowed behind a horse. And that incident was in the grape vines because you couldn't fit a cultivator in there.
Right.
And I used to make the jellies. They called them Mrs. Ballas's jellies.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the house fathers just thought I wasn't doing something right, and he took over the job. We couldn't get his jelly out of the jars, mm-hmm. so I got the job back.
But now that was your favorite. What was your least favorite?
I don't remember having a least favorite. I mean, I don't remember anything that we did that was not interesting. Even cleaning the manure out of the barns and stuff like that. You know, it was just. I'm still that way. I don't really differentiate. You know, it's all just work.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and there was a boar hog out in the south pasture. No, south. Let's see, north. It would be. Gee.
Well, the hog pens were in the south.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Then there was a gate there next to the farrowing houses.
Right.
And he would come to there. And one time he got his big tooth,
mm-hmm.
his fang type tooth, caught in the wire fence.
Oh.
Now, this is a 600-pound hog that I've got to the place where I can just scratch him on the ears if I want, right?
Mm-hmm.
But somebody had to come down there and chisel with a chisel and break that tooth off to get him out of that situation. But anyway, that was just one of the, and carrying water to him. You know, I could carry 2 5-gallon buckets of water in each hand, bale of hay in each hand, you know. We were in good shape.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Strong back, weak mind.
Well, let's not go that far. Now, were you involved in any of the construction projects at the farm, or was there any during your period of time?
Not. You mean like when they built the gym and that kind of stuff?
Right.
No, but the one I remember most was I had to stain the shingles of the roofs of both barns and both silos.
Mm.
You remember those silo roofs?
Oh, yeah.
Have you got any idea how you get out there? And I mean,
very carefully.
You know, once again, I didn't really even think about it. I just did it.
Right. Yeah. And I talked to Bill Richards, and he did, not Bill Richards, Joe Vogliardo. And he was saying that he got out there and painted them before our time. And, yeah, the ladder slipped, and he was dangling for a while.
Oh?
Yeah. But, yeah, it, like you said, though, you know, it was all in a day's work.
Filling the silos was something Dean and I both remember fondly. That was, you know, you get to the place where there's practically no room left at the top,
right?
Except
yeah.
these two boys and the end of this scoop, which and it's they're blowing the stuff up at you, you know, and you're putting it down in the corners, and it was great. It was good stuff.
Good experience.
Everything.
Yeah. Yeah. And what kind of entertainment do you remember at Drum?
There was a TV, but, you know, Jack and I were just driving through Independence, and he says, oh, there's the movie house we used to go to. I don't remember ever going to a movie while we were at Drum.
Oh, yeah.
I don't remember it.
Yeah. You know, we only go on the weekend, but...
But I sang in the choir.
Right.
Well, I went to church three times a week, often.
Yeah.
And most of the time,
mm-hmm.
I was in Boy Scouts. You know, I mean, you know, to become right. an Eagle takes long-term involvement. And,
sure.
And as I say, I'm sure I was in some kind of FFA position. I can't remember what it was. I ended up as the president of the National Honor Society. Which is a joke, really, because there were many people there smarter than me. But I think the thing that threw it in my direction was that I was on the football team, too.
Right.
And everybody liked that idea that you know, we had people on the football team that actually had some brains. I don't know.
Yeah.
Because there was another guy who was also a very good student on the football team.
Oh, Fred Fisher?
That sounds, I think so, yeah.
Yeah, he's a stockbroker now.
Wow.
Yeah. But, let's see, now...
Entertainment. Wait a minute. It seems to me there was something else. Church, no, I guess... I'm not getting anything right now, so...
Okay, that's all right. We can come back to it. Yeah, and you were involved with the church... You did your thing with the choir, and
even sang in the church. I mean, I, you know, soloed a couple of times.
Oh, okay,
that kind of stuff. You know, right. The Lord's Prayer. Oh. Have you got any? I mean, I had that kind of range at
right.
the time.
Yeah.
In fact, in Bristol, which Jack and I just visited, it's now a post office. I was singing descant.
Oh.
The range above soprano.
Mm-hmm.
In the sixth grade.
Wow.
Yeah.
Hmm. Now, another item that comes up frequently is, do you have any dates while you're at a Drum?
Well,
you know, real honest-to-goodness date?
Jane Ann, I think, I remember we went to some dance or something, and Jane Ann came with me. And Richard Rhodes was there with a girl, and he approved of us. It was so fatherly, or a big brother, actually, was more like it. After I got out, of course, there were dates with
right.
Jane Ann and I, but during the time, well, I guess there were hay rides.
Right.
When That's girls kind of- would sometimes come.
Right.
I don't think there was much.
No, I don't remember much, but anyway, yeah. But everybody's memory is different.
For the junior prom, my mother set it up to where Fred and I could go to this particular hotel room, and there were our tuxes and stuff.
Oh.
And one of the grads loaned us his car, and we snuck out. We even left our beds looking like there was somebody in them. Mm. And we did the whole thing, you know. And coming back late at night, the Independence police pulled us over, and Burt Meyer had to come to the jail to get us out, Fred and I. And the next day, he came down. I was out there milking the cows. He came down. He says, "What happened?" You know, and I hemmed and hawed. And he said, "Fred's already told me what happened." I said, "Oh well, okay." So I told him what happened, and he never said anything more. But we never asked to go out on dates, and we didn't even want to push it, you know.
Right.
So for months, I guess it was the rest of the summer. Yeah, because that would have been at the end of the school year. We just kind of laid low. And
it's kind of hard to imagine Scotty laying low. Okay, moving on. You had a lot of opportunities to develop skills. What kind of job skills did you learn at the farm?
I'm an electrical contractor right now. I did those first. I already mentioned the 4-H plaque that I, or piece of plywood actually, that had those. Where I am in San Francisco, there are a lot of old Victorian homes that still have the old knob and tube wiring.
Wow.
I'm one of the few that knows what to do with it.
Mm-hmm.
In fact, I and a few other older electricians think it's one of the best things we ever did. And I won't get into that now, but that puts me in a very special place. I don't ever have to advertise. I've got plenty of work always. In fact, it seems to me that when the economy goes in the toilet, I get busier. Mm. I think the reason is because people decide not to go to Paris and buy that new fur coat, but instead to respond to a nesting instinct, right?
Right.
That is a reaction to the insecurity, probably.
So you developed your electrical skills.
Yeah, but that was I've also been a painter. I started out as doing all the mechanical for a general contractor. That would be the sheet metal and plumbing and gas and all that kind of stuff too. I've done concrete, tile, roofing, but almost all of it is electrical. I'm right now involved in a project for the company that is going to be doing all the towing for Kansas City. They're a San Francisco company that I've been working for years called Auto Return. Mm-hmm. I do thousands of dollars worth of work for them. And one of those projects is the old Bethlehem Steel building on the waterfront down in San Francisco. And I can keep it running because, I mean, I can patch together these old systems and continue to at least deliver power and light for them. It often feels like I'm the only one who can do it, you know.
Well, it's nice to be in demand.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. And I've developed this idea that if you do a good job for a fair price, you don't have to advertise, right?
That's
so
right.
Google calls me up and wants to put me on their front page. I say, no, thank you. I don't want that kind of profile. I don't need it.
Yeah.
That's something you would do instead of quality and fairness, mm-hmm. right?
When you're doing quantity.
Yeah.
Yeah. Now, did you develop any hobbies out at the farm?
Archie was just reminding me that he developed a love of leather work because I was into it at the time.
Right.
I even got a merit badge in it, which was kind of different because I had to find somebody to give me the merit badge. There was nobody around who was qualified to authorize a merit badge.
Yeah.
And so I remember having to do something about that. Most of our merit badges came as a result of the work that we were already doing, such as sheep raising or poultry raising or, you know, or even cooking or camping or, you know, we already did all that stuff. All we do is take the form down to Burt Meyer and he'd sign it. So we, you know, I ended up with two palms, they call them. It's for every five merit badges above Eagle, you get a palm.
Oh.
So anyway, I was pretty busy that whole time. I've lost track of what the question was here.
Hobbies.
Hobbies, yeah.
Well, you talked about the leather work.
The leather work is just one. I later got into things like ceramics and macrame and stuff like that. I really enjoy the crafts and working with my hands and stuff like that. I went to college to become an electrical engineer, but it's a much better thing that I didn't get that, I think.
Right.
I'm much better qualified to do the physical work of stacking blocks and making it work, you know.
Right. And see, now here's jumping back here. What year did you graduate?
58.
Yeah, okay. And how old were you at the time?
18.
18. And now you are?
72.
72. Okay. Now, did you go to college or a trade school?
1 year at University of Missouri.
Okay. And then you said you're electrical, so did you go to a trade school, or
no,
was that just job training?
I applied for an apprenticeship in San Francisco and was on their waiting list for 3 years. And during that time, they kept telling me to send in my postcard, one thing and another. Anyway, at the end of finally, they dropped the whole list without even giving me a test. There's more to it, but I'm trying to keep this short. And so I went and I was working for this general contractor at the time, and the electrician that was working with him asked him if I could come to work with him. Mm-hmm. And, you know, it's not considered good manners to take somebody else's worker. But in this case, the guy actually asked for permission for me to come and work with him. And at the time, he was doing these one-hour Martinizing dry cleaning plants, which are unique because you have to do dress quality work because the customers are coming into the plant and they can see it all. So they let me go. Nobody ever told me to hurry. I could bend the same piece of conduit three times if I wanted to, you know, and really make it pretty. Mm-hmm. And it was good lesson. Anyway, that guy died and I had to go get my own license. And it seemed like there was never an opportunity to go to work for somebody else. I sort of moved in that direction a few times, but and another thing, that once I did get the license, I finally had something like 17 apprentices. These were all people who would not have gotten into the union either. And some of them, you know, one of them was given the job, when he went to work for somebody else, was given the job of looking over the job before the inspector got there, because they knew that he knew the code well enough to do something like that. And somebody said, "Where'd you learn it?" And he said, "Ted Ballas," you know. And that was it's been very enjoyable. My work has been rewarding.
Well, that's good, yeah.
And it all begins here at Drum with not just the electrical, but, you know, we learned arc welding and gas welding and how to run a forge. And you know, that shop has two of every tool.
Oh, I know. Do you think Drum could have better prepared you for life after graduation?
Yes, and I've been asked that question before, and I've responded to it in a different writing, which is on file someplace. It may even be in one of the books. But I think that because we were so naive where women were concerned, that we came out just, you know, dumb.
Not prepared.
Completely.
Yeah. Okay. Now, were you in the service?
Yeah.
Okay. So you're a veteran?
No, I was discharged after a year because when I was in the Marines, I was on a hold for testing for jet pilot. I was going to go to flight school. And during that time, they gave me the job of, because they'd give me a test and I'd have to wait a month for the results, and then they'd give me another test and waiting. So there was a lot of waiting around. And during that time, they gave me the job of clerk of the mess hall. I had to keep track of all the different materials that were coming and going. And a couple of the cooks asked if I wanted to come along and do this armed robbery.
Oh.
And I was naive enough, you know, it didn't even occur to me to just say no and walk away from it.
Right.
Partly because there was a girl here in San Francisco that I knew from high school, mm-hmm. Carol Coast.
Doesn't ring a bell.
She was in our class.
Okay.
And I wanted to go see her. And, you know, they promised that we were already done it 11 times. Nobody gets hurt, you know. Yeah. You can make yourself a couple hundred dollars real easy. Well, it's a much longer story. But anyway, they did catch us. And I ended up in the Long Beach jail. Well, first I was in Culver City. We only got 10 minutes left. I was discharged.
Oh, from the service.
For undesirable.
Mm, okay. Of all the things you learned at Drum, what's the most valuable?
I'm going to use my sister's answer. Because she's still pissed off that she didn't get to go to Drum.
Ah.
She's saving her money to have a school where the girls get to go too.
Ah,
right?
Okay.
She says, we learned to work.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. She didn't.
The work ethic, yeah. And see, now do you think Drum actually influenced your success?
Oh, I don't think there's any question about it. Yes.
Okay.
Right.
And which accomplishments make you the most proud of the things you have achieved?
My work. Recently, I was at an Eagle Scout ceremony, and, you know, they asked for the Eagles.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
To stand up.
Oh, yeah.
You know, you're in a group of mostly strangers, and you stand up and you say, 1958,
mm-hmm.
Troop 230, Independence, Missouri. And,
yeah, it's there. Well, another accomplishment. Let's see. What words of advice would you like to share to the up-and-coming generation?
At one time, my life got really difficult, very, very difficult. After 12 years in AA, I was still having a lot of trouble with interpersonal relationships and one thing and another like that. And I was in my second day of sobriety. In my second day of sobriety, I was alone in my house at the stove looking through this leftover stew, trying to find the little red potatoes. And a voice said, I like potatoes too. And I'm looking around to see where the voice came from. And I'm alone in the house, right? And the voice went on, potatoes. Remember when you were a little boy and you were so poor there was nothing in the house to eat but potato peelings? I said, yeah. The voice said, well, I'm the one that made sure those potato peelings were left there for you. Hmm. I told a couple of the old timers in AA about it. They assured me it was just DTs and it would go away.
Yeah.
It didn't. And then I found out that a whole lot of people have experiences like that, and it's usually when they're at the end of their rope, when they're without resource,
right,
that then the miracle can happen. So the question is, do I have any advice? I would just like to underline what I guess all the different religions have suggested, is that you can have a personal relationship with God. You don't have to be squeaky clean.
Mm-hmm.
It's available to everybody. And maybe that's enough of that. I don't want to complicate it. That's the message, right?
Okay. Well, that's fine. Yeah.
Okay. I mean, I said to the voice, well, "How shall I call thee?" Mm-hmm. At one point, after, this is about 3 years into it. By that time, "How shall I call thee?" or something like that. I've forgotten how. The voice said, "How about Larry?"
Mm. One last thing. What would you want people to remember most about you? How should they remember you?
Craftsmanship comes to mind. That's still very important to me.
Good.
Fairness. Like to think that I've been, that I didn't need to have all the beans in the kingdom. I didn't have to be first in line. That was deliberate quite often.
Right.
that those who have to have that have not developed to the next level, really. I think that's right. Greed becomes an addiction, and anyway, I'm just very glad that I didn't have to do that, and to know that God provides,
right?
And, or as the Bible says, before you will have asked, I will have answered, and that has been very, very true for me through some very, very difficult times.
Well, that concludes our interview with Ted. And I want to thank you for listening and hope that you enjoyed it as much as I did. Thank you.